We're getting a little closer to the end of this lovely book, the book of Ruth. I want us to read some verses, just four verses together in the chapter 4, the verses 9 through to 12. 9 through to 12, concluding another section of the story of redemption revealed to us in this lovely book. Ruth chapter 4, verse 9, "And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, Ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which two did build the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman." May the Lord bless the reading of these few verses to our hearts. You know that the book of Ruth commences with an account of the declining fortunes of those in the household of Elimelech who had sunk down into backsliding and disobedience. But it ends on a much brighter note, for it ends with a glorious recovery of all through the intervention of a kind and gracious kinsman redeemer, even Boaz. Truly it is the story of God's redemption for this little family unit, and particularly for the woman Ruth. But of course, you can see in the story reflections and likenesses of the old gospel story of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it is He has wrought for those that were His, those to whom He was a kinsman, as He recovered them out of their state of poverty and woe and brought them to salvation. Only the story of the gospel can be said to end with everyone living happily ever after. Now, boys and girls here will know that there's many a story that they have read, and their fathers and mothers before them, and virtually the last line of the story is, "And everybody lived happily ever after." Well, that's how it is in fairy tales, because it's not like that in this world. That is not the common experience of men and women. There is no living happily ever after, except for those who embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only when we are saved and know Him as our Redeemer and commit to Him our lives, our everything, and allow Him to order, to plan our life and our eternity, only then Will we know what it is to live happily ever after? Those who do not give over their lives to Christ and their souls to Christ, do you know how they will end? Do you know how the story of their life will end? Not with them living happily ever after, but it will end, as the Bible tells us, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. Forever. That's how man's story will end. Only those who have embraced the Lord Jesus will find that He will sort all things out and make everything in the end work out in perfect happiness. And the story of this book, the story in this book, the story of Ruth, is one that ends on a happy note. It began on a sad note. But as we come to this new section, we're getting closer and closer to the last note of the song, as it were. And as we read our way through the book of Ruth, it's getting brighter and brighter all the way. Getting brighter and brighter all the way. Here in the verse before us, we have the public announcement of the marriage between Boaz and Ruth. In actual fact, in these three verses, we're permitted really to attend the marriage ceremony. For that's what took place that day at the gate of the city. When Boaz publicly announced, "I'm taking Ruth to be my wife." He was making a vow before witnesses. So we're attending a wedding here. We're attending a wedding. That'll, I hope, provide us with some wise observations regarding how weddings ought to be run. Maybe some of you younger fathers have it all in front of you. Well, no bad thing to know just what a wedding ought to be and what are the underlying principles and features of a wedding. Because let me tell you, that which passes as a wedding today, even within the house of God, has somewhat departed from the Bible idea of a wedding. It has. But more about that later. Let's first of all note here in the verses, and we only have four verses before us, but let us note the parameters. That is the outer perimeter of the deliverance that is wrought by Boaz. What does it encompass, this deliverance, this intervention by Boaz? What is it he's going to do? What's the totality of that which he is going to accomplish through his stepping in to redeem the affairs, the household of Naomi and Ruth? Well, first and foremost, Boaz buys back out of poverty the property of one who had been the head of the family. Look at verse 9. "And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's." Doubtless Elimelech had sold it, you know, when he went down into Moab. He did have to have capital as he went down into this neighbouring country to start life again. He had to have the means of living, of buying a house, and doing whatever business that he would be engaged in, likely buying a piece of ground to work as a farmer. And in order to accomplish that, he had sold his property, his heritage, that given him of God, in and around Bethlehem. So that when Naomi returned from Moab into Bethlehem, she could see the farm that once she had lived on, the house that once she had lived in, doubtless. But it was the possession of others that had been sold. But you see, under the law of God in Israel, it could be bought back. The seal, as it were, could be undone. And of course it had to be bought back at a fair price and all the rest of it. Yes? But it could be done. And it could be done by the one who would step in and act as the redeemer for the family. And that's what Boaz is doing. He says, I've bought all that was Elimelech's. Note the past tense. It had passed out of his hands when he had sold it. But I'm buying it back in accordance with the law. I'm buying it back and it'll come back into the family because Boaz was related to Elimelech. I'm not sure just how he was related. Some might even suggest he was a brother. I don't know. But he was closely related. Of the same family tree. Very closely related, as I say. And now it's back into the family because Boaz has bought it. Nothing remained in the possession of others. Nothing remained in the possession of others that had been formerly Elimelech's. It was all restored. Remember, of course, we're seeing in the actions of Elimelech the actions of our Savior. We're seeing in the work work of Boaz illustrated for us the work of the Savior. And what Boaz did for Naomi and for Ruth, it pictures for us what the Savior did for you. All our property was sold. That which we formerly had been lost to us, and lost to us through the actions of Adam. His sin cost us everything. Cost us our total heritage. We were absolutely poverty-stricken as a result of Adam's sin. We were dead. Spiritually speaking. But the Lord Jesus bought it all back. He bought it all back. You may look at those opening chapters in Genesis and see Adam and Eve in paradise and think of what it must have been like, how wonderful it must have been. Well, just remember this. Christ has purchased it all back again. He said to the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That which had been taken from the sinner by the actions of Adam's transgression. He had acted, you know, as the head of our family, the federal head of humanity. He acted on behalf of us all. And when he made the deal with the devil and sold out, we suffered in consequence. We suffered in consequence. Just as the failure of Elimelech and the selling by Elimelech had caused the whole family to lose the property. So it was with us in consequence of Adam's transgression. But the Lord Jesus has bought it all back. He's bought it all back. Marvelous that, you know. Marvelous. Now, when the announcement was made that day, Ruth and Naomi were still, practically speaking, homeless. The deal was done, the bargain was struck, the agreement was made, but the benefits of it all had yet to come into the life of Ruth and Naomi. But it would come. It would come. And very shortly afterwards, there was Ruth, now the wife of Boaz. And there was Naomi, and I think that I can be permitted this little exercise in imagination. There was Naomi going back into that house that had been taken from her by the failures of Elimelech. She thought she'd never see it again. But she did. You and I have not yet entered into all the fullness of the wonderful purchase made by the Lord Jesus on the cross. But I tell you it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I might say this, that in actual fact, the position with Naomi and with Ruth was now under Boaz better than it ever would have been under Elimelech. In other words, there was not just a buying back what they had lost, but there was an improving upon the situation that was formerly in operation. They were better off. I mean, I'd rather have my affairs in the hands of the Son of God than in the hands of Adam. And I feel that the affairs of the household would be better looked after when run by the wisdom of a Boaz than ever they would have been when they were run by Elimelech. So that not only have we regained all that we have lost in Adam, but we're much, much better off. Much, much better off. I mean, say things were just, Elimelech was dead, but say he were still alive. And what was wrought this day was merely a giving of Elimelech a second chance. Do you think he would have made a better job of things the second time round? He might have, but then on the other hand, he might not have. The wit and the wisdom that he had that brought him into trouble the first time was likely to bring him into trouble the second time. But you see, now the affairs of the family are in the hands of a very wise man, a great man of wealth. A man who knew how to make wealth and keep it and wisely use it. Oh, there was a wise head on the shoulders of Boaz. So consequently, the family affairs were in better hands when in the hands of Boaz. I remember when I was not too long saved, it occurred to me one day, as I was pondering my new condition now that I was saved, and I thought of heaven, And what little I knew from the Bible about it, I poured over in my mind, and the happiness and the joys of it all. And then suddenly the thought struck me, but what if it all happens again? And sin comes round once more, and we're out of heaven again. And just like it was with Adam, folly is committed, and we're plunged back down into poverty and misery and woe. Did you ever think that? It's not a bad thing to think about. Because when you think about it, you've got to come up with an answer. Otherwise, it's going to torment you. I didn't, I'm sure, come up with the answer myself. I must have asked somebody. Can't remember that. But I do remember the answer that I came up with and that was given to me. I am now kept by the Son of God. And the interests of all the people of God are now in His hands. And His infinite wisdom rules over the affairs of His people. And it can never, never happen again. That's why we're better off than we were in the days of Adam. And that's why Ruth and Naomi now have much better circumstances surrounding them than ever there was when Elimelech was alive and controlled the affairs of the family. He is this man Boaz. He, as part of this wonderful deal, could I call it that? Arrangement that he has made. He has bought back all the property of Elimelech's. And it would always remain with the family. That's why well over 1,000 years later, in the same town, the descendant of Boaz and Ruth, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born in Bethlehem. Property still belonged, still was in the possession of the tribe of Judah. And no matter what would come or go, or how things might be tossed and disturbed by the passage of time, it always will belong to the people of God. Their heritage will never be taken away. And it's symbolized in the fact that that wee area in Bethlehem, which belonged to the particular family of Boaz, you know, it still belongs to them. Even though Bethlehem today is very much under the Palestinians, one day it will be again in the hand of the tribe of Judah and the descendants of Boaz. But that's just aside. Let's go a little further. He not only bought the property of Elimelech, but he bought the person of Ruth. He bought the person of Ruth. Now it says that. Look, please, at the verse 10. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife. Have I redeemed? That's the meaning of the word. To be my wife. purchased her out of her widowhood, out of her barrenness and fruitlessness, purchased her, redeemed her out of her poverty. She was without claim in the land of Israel. She had no speck of the land to call hers. She was a Moabitess. She had no part in the land until she was redeemed by Boaz. Redeemed by Boaz. Each one of you here today who is truly saved, you have been bought. You have been bought. The Church of Jesus Christ has been bought. The Bride of Jesus Christ has been bought, and bought by the blood of the Savior. You know, the wealth that Boaz had was the fruit of his labors, the fruit of his sweat and his toil and his hardships. That's how he had come by this wealth. And now he was buying out of that wealth not only the property of Elimelech, but the person of Ruth. And we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. His work at the cross, his labors and his toils at the cross, the fruit of his holy life, was laid down at the cross as a sacrifice and accepted by God, and his blood shedding redeemed us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of the Holy Spirit within the child of God, his indwelling. Well, the indwelling and the peace and the assurance that he grants is the earnest. The word earnest there in Ephesians 1:14 simply means down payment, what we would call a deposit of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The Holy Ghost abides within the breast of every true child of God, and his presence within us is an assurance that there will come a day when we will be brought into the presence of God, and we will enjoy to its fullness his redemption, because we are purchased. We're purchased. The purchase has been made, the price has been paid, and the token that we will one day enter into the fruits of the Savior's redemption is seen in the presence of the Holy Ghost within you, child of God. You're a purchased possession. And one day you will enter into the fullness of that redemption wrought by the purchase of Christ. I have bought the person of Ruth. She's mine. She's mine, says Boaz. Now we belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to us. Not for the years of time alone, but for all eternity. All eternity. Boaz was saying, Ruth is mine, and I'm hers from this day. It's a wonderful thing to have the experience of union with Christ. To know what it is to be his. To be publicly owned by him. Do you have that experience? Do you know what it is to be called to the side of Christ and told by Him, "You're mine, and I'm yours, and we're going to be together forever"? That's what it is to be saved. Oh, young people, may you know God's grace working in you and bringing about that blessed union. Another thing that was done by Boaz that day is that he preserved the name of Mahlon. You see that? Verse 10. "Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day." What Boaz did, preserved the name of Mahlon. Mahlon's name lives on today. We're talking about it, aren't we? And we're talking about it because of what the kinsman redeemer did. Now, if Ruth had married the first and nearest kinsman to her, whose name we don't know, she had married him, you would never have heard of Ruth. You never would have heard of Elimelech or Naomi or Mahlon. The life of Ruth would have come to nothing, and that book wouldn't be in the Bible. But as I've said on other occasions, in the grand purpose of God, there would have been no Redeemer either. For God had ordained that from Ruth would come Christ eventually, through her union with Boaz. So by marrying Ruth, there was a preserving of the name of her late husband, Mahlon. You know, men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ, by his death, purchased the estate of our father, Adam, paid off all the debts that we owed, delivering us from poverty. And the Savior has made the name of Adam to live, and has made to live the names of all the elect who otherwise would have remained in deadness and fruitlessness. Heaven is filled with people bought back from the dead. Literally. People whom there was no hope of ever becoming anything because of sin. But Christ, by his redemption, brought them back from the dead, out of the deadness of their sins, and caused their names to live. Caused their names to live. Where would we have been had not Christ have saved us? We have been adopted into the family of God. We have a new name given us. And we're alive forevermore. There's been a preserving of our name by the death of Christ. Now the time passing as it has forbids me embarking upon what I intended saying today. also from this passage, but I cannot hold back myself from at least pointing you in the direction that our study will take us next week in the will of God. I want you to think of the place where all this took place, where this transaction happened. Look at it. And you will discover that you're at the cross. There is a likeness to Calvary presented to us here. And of course, that's where the great redemption wrought by the Savior was accomplished. But, as I say, more about that in the will of God next week. Let's just bow together, please, in prayer. Lord, we do pray for your blessing upon the words that have been spoken. Especially we pray that the hearts and the minds of little ones will be quickened to understand God's truth. We haven't maybe made it easy for them, Lord. Oh, sometimes we feel so much that we complicate rather than explain God's word. But Lord, be pleased to press home thy truth upon the minds and hearts of us all. And may we know the peace of God within our hearts this day. Separate us now as we leave thy house, and do remember Miss Ray, Lord. May it be well with her this day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.